This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
It just hit me. Between plays, blankly looking up at the ReliaQuest Bowl. Can a bowl game even just be a word anymore? I'm going to be mad at myself that I even said, I'm about to say it a second time, ReliaQuest. That's like probably a insurance company. Is it a financial company and an insurance company, though? That's what we need to know. It hit me. It's New Year's Eve, and I have nothing to do tonight. I mean, nothing planned. Nothing to do makes it sound like all my chores are done or whatever, like all my work is done at home, which is certainly not the case. If I needed... I'm sure I could think of someone who would tell me, do you need something to do? Here's a list, okay? If you need something to do, just pick literally one thing off this list and we'll feel great. You know, I promise I'll do that. But I have no plans to do anything. Part of it is, it's my one friend's problem. It's his fault. My friend Mike is out of town and it's his birthday. And for maybe... 7 or so of the last 10 years, I want to say, New Year's Eve with him and his wife and daughter and my family and some other friends have always been at my house. Open up the basement. There's a bar. That's a party. We put on, for fun, you would love this. We put on vintage Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve shows from like the early 80s or something, because you can do that. That makes us feel really, you know, smart and hip because we're not watching. Well, we would never watch the current one, right? So we watch the old Dick Clark New Year's Eve shows at Times Square, and it's a great night. But he's out of town. So is my family. Like, there's not even a hot, you know, pigs in a blanket, shrimp, stuffed mushrooms kind of appetizer. I've got nothing at all. I'm going to be out of here 7 at the latest. And I have nothing. I have to feed the dog and take her for a short walk if it's not too snowy. And that's it. And what am I going to do for? Is there another? There's a bowl game that has a word, cotton. But even that's weird because that's actually a playoff. They just sort of are hanging on to the cotton, orange, rose, sugar names, even though it kind of, unless you know, the Cotton Bowl, I think, can't kind of buy pre-playoff years, the Cotton Bowl was a little bit more fringe. It was sort of like not invited to the cool kids table anymore, the Cotton Bowl. It was just not as sexy as the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and a couple of the other, maybe the Fiesta Bowl, but that's the ReliaQuest, really. There's not even like a tangerine after the word ReliaQuest. There's just nothing. We don't care. It doesn't matter anymore. The bowl games are the whole system is so far gone. Well, anyway, Happy New Year. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Bulldog is off today. He'll be back with me on Friday. I keep saying that. I'm pretty sure that's right. No one has told me different. So that's my expectation. I'm looking forward to today very much. Joe Ostrowski coming up at 3:30. Always a great time with Joe. He's now on the podcast Chicken Dinner with Sam Panayotovic, who I expect will join us on Friday. Dan Leberfeld, as it is Jets week, right? It is, right? That's what we're all thinking about is the Jets. Name five Jets. That's what we're all thinking about. So Dan Leberfeld on the Jets, and was it Tyler Dunn yesterday? I think it was, that I asked, like, is this a new low point? I mean, the Jets are the Sabres of the last 14 years in football, where they have not made the playoffs at all. And it's just sort of it's the drought, you know, it's different degrees of failure, I guess. Maybe that could be their video yearbook. A lesser degree of failure, the 2021 New York Jets. Maybe I've stolen that. Probably not. So we'll talk to Dan about this game coming up on Sunday. I wonder how much. Do you wonder this? So the Bills this week, it's a work week. I mean, it's absolutely a work week. The playoffs are next week. And even though there isn't the division on the line here this week, it's got to be super focused. Interesting how the players do that around Christmas and New Year's. They got to stay really on point. And I wonder how much of their prep is toward the Jets. I feel I've been asked this, and we've talked about this since Monday or since Sunday night. I think the Bills will seriously rest players in this game. I don't know that, but I'm expecting that. And that starts with Allen, of course. He starts the game, and then, I don't know, does he play more than one play because it's the stadium finale, or does he play? I don't know. I feel like the coaches. Objective is to be right for the postseason, and the stadium being retired has nothing to do with that. So maybe we get one play, maybe it's a series, maybe it's a quarter, I don't know, but it's not going to be a lot from Allen. I wonder, I that's my expectation anyway, I wonder what the Bills sort of, I don't know, they're always trying to win, but how much it matters to them to win this game. And I put this to you, 803-0550, or any sort of bye-bye stadium kind of thoughts or feelings that you have. We did some of this yesterday, and with three guests today, there won't be, you know, a sort of a long run of calls. So I'm open to it, like, right away here. But I wonder what kind of incentive or, like, pressure there is within the team from McDermott to beat the Jets. They might feel, but they would never want to sort of acknowledge it, that they can just beat them with their eyes closed. That this is, I mean, it might be the easiest game on the schedule that's possible this week would be a home game against the Jets. I mean, they have really, I thought, this is on me, I guess. I mean, last week at this time, you might have heard me talking up the Jets' chances against the Patriots, and I couldn't have been more wrong to do that. I mean, as soon as the game started, it was over. So is that what we get this week too? Is it absolutely already Cancun time for Jets players? But, you know, the Bills don't want to fall for that or be distracted by that. They can move up one, if not two spots by winning. Or at least, to put it maybe in a better way, They're the 7 if they lose to the Jets. They're the 6 or maybe the 5 if they win. So there's the potential to move up from the 7 seed. Do you think it matters to them? The one thing about the 7, because you don't know 2 or 3 either, New England or Jacksonville or maybe even Denver, but Denver is probably safe against the Chargers without Justin Herbert this week. Probably. It's as far as I'll go. Which would mean that Denver is the 1. And if I'm the 7 and I win that first game against New England or Jacksonville, then I'm locked in for Denver in the second week. And I don't know. How do you feel about that? Is a game and then Denver the second week better or worse than the other two, like Jacksonville, New England, in whatever order? I guess who's third on that list of the 3 teams, the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Jaguars? That's interesting. You've got a ton of incentives. I looked at the chart today. Somebody posted a chart of all the player incentives in the NFL. And granted, a couple of these Bills ones, like Michael Hoyt is one. I'm pretty sure he's not getting 2 sacks in this game being on IR. But it's Bosa, Daquan Jones. It's not going to be Oliver. Oliver needed 3 sacks for a quarter mil. That's out. Shakir has a couple. 8 catches, a touchdown. That's $150,000 each. Ty Johnson has a couple. Dawson Knox has 3 different $100,000 incentives in this game. The Bills might want to make their guys happy and sort of lean into that a little bit. I don't know. There's a lot on my mind. It's this game, but it's mostly next week. It's that I've got nothing to do tonight. It's these incentives. It's fantasy is over, and I'm definitely feeling a little bit of a void, which I'm trying to embrace because the fantasy experience in my life is, I don't want to say rigorous because that's embarrassing. That sounds like if you're riding a bike for 30 miles a day, but it's just sort of involved. How about that? Is that a fair word to do it? Involved. And I'm trying to enjoy the respite from having that all be over. And it totally is. I very well might drop in a DFS lineup. Those are fun in week 18 because you have all these backups playing and you can kind of just, it's almost like the preseason. But without that, I'm feeling a little bit of a void, as I think is coming across, and I've also already said it. Let's go to Nick here. Hi, Nick.
Oh, hey, I just wanted to reflect quickly on my first job. One of my first jobs was at Rich Stadium. Me and a few of my friends, we were 18, 19 years old back in the 70s, and in those days, you were legal to drink in them days. But anyhow, our job at the stadium was basically selling cups of beer in the crowd.
Yeah.
We around with the rack of beer. A beer was 90 cents. And there we were. We were young and didn't have much money. And we were able to go to the games and make maybe 30 to 50 bucks. And that was great in the 70s.
90 cents so that they would give you the 10 cents tip? Right? Like, here's a buck. Keep the change, kid. More like that.
So I don't remember.
Probably, though. Strategically priced, Nick.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you is, is there any incentive for the Bills to win this game? I mean, there's no chance of another home game, even if we beat the first opponent and then down the line?
No, there would be. Like that's part of it. You can make it that. Thanks, Nick. Happy New Year. You can make it that, or you can make it just matchups. But that's the extent of it. I mean, they can't win the AFC East. They might be able to get to the 5, but they need a pretty big upset or two around the AFC. It's pretty much only going to be 6 or 7, and 6 gives you some look at a home game. What it would be is not trying to overthink the rest of the possible seedings, but say 6-3 is Bills Jaguars win that game. Houston, say, is the 7 or the Chargers. Chargers are more likely the 7. They beat New England and Denver, and you end up hosting them in the AFC Championship game. And that's the dream. Is it so possible that it makes this game important? Maybe. I think of this game more as just like, oh, how could you possibly lose to the Jets? But honestly, if Trubisky plays three quarters, you could. I mean, that's not that different from what the Jets are doing. And if you're sitting five good players, offense or defense, you know, Benford, whoever else would sit, then I think you're, I don't know, at the Jets level. So maybe not. Maybe you're still better. But that's really what it's about. Let's go to Zach next. Hi, Zach.
Hey, Mike. Just want to call on the matchups. I do think the Bills will take care of business Sunday. Kind of odd to be thinking about. I love your comments on the situation where it's like the last game, but looking at the playoffs, it's just kind of this conundrum I'm trying to figure out in my head because it is going to be emotional, but I'm also looking at playoffs. But on the playoffs, I think if the Bills play their best game, and their best game being solid defense in the second half of the game, Cook playing well, and Allen having a clean game, clean with no hits and, like, no crazy turnovers, game-changing turnovers. I this is a playoff field where I feel confident in them beating any of them if they play that kind of game. Like, if going in, if that game happens, I think the Bills walk out anywhere. Jacksonville, New England, Denver. Like, I don't – there's not – like, I'm not, like, going into any of these where I'm, like – I feel like, you know, any of these teams are a major threat. I mean, I could also see them losing, but – I would be more fearful of that Jacksonville team, the 17 Bills played, than this Jaguars team. And this Jaguars team's got a better quarterback. But that defense was – there were some monsters on that team, man. I don't – nobody on this Jacksonville team really scares me. So Bills against the field, I kind of like it if they could play their best game.
Well, you know, you could bet that if you were a betting man because that would be not the hugest surprise of all possibilities this playoff season, but it would be up there. If you liked him, this is what I've been talking about with Sam Panayotovich all season, because he just keeps pouring more and more of his money into Bills and the Super Bowl. Like, you could still do that. The loss to the Eagles makes that such that it's not like it's super cheap now. I don't know if I agree with the Jacksonville point. It's all so close. The thing I think about when I think about Jacksonville, like, really doesn't seem like there's an obvious weakness with them, and I'm curious about what their passing game is capable of. The Bills are a very good pass defense. Not always the best at getting to the quarterback, but what I like about their chances against Jacksonville is Brian Thomas has been erratic. If it matters to you, Travis Hunter is not there. Like, he never really got off the ground as a receiver anyway. Jacoby Myers is fine, but not going to really beat you. Like, he could have a good day. And then there's this Parker Washington, who's had a couple of good stat lines in recent weeks. I don't know, though, if we're talking about anybody that is on a higher level. So I want to think that by their personnel, if not also by their schemes, because the coach seems pretty good, but by their personnel, if the Bills can't measure up to Jacksonville, and then running-wise, it's ETN, and I think he's also okay. Like, he has gotten a lot of volume in his career, but is not somebody who he's not Bijan, you know, like somebody who can just sort of break the game on you. So I do like this. I've thought about it a lot. I've come to like this about the Jacksonville possibility that if I need to have Trevor Lawrence manufacture a win, a comeback win even, I'll take my chances there. I mean, I respect them, but I'll take my chances there. Interesting to think about the Patriots in the same vein. Like, so what's the difference there? And because the Patriots are not loaded at receiver either, but I am a little bit more daunted by that idea because of coaching experience and that the quarterback has been better. Like, the quarterback has been as good as any this year, I want to say, May. And he's faced the Bills a couple times. I think it's a version of, dare I put this on your plate, it's a version of the Kansas City meetings in how it's two teams that are quite familiar with each other. With the Bills and the Chiefs, there's always a regular season game, and there have been, you know, every year the playoff games add up. So they go to Arrowhead last year, and they've met how many times in the last 5 years? 10, 11 times? Like, it's just been a lot. And the Patriots have turned their roster over, but two meetings this year, and both were big games. Like, especially the first one for New England, I think, that catapulted them to the division title, and then the Bills needed the second one to sort of reclaim their status, if you will. I think coaching experience, I'm not super excited about that matchup, the Bills and the Patriots for this. And I mean, I think of Vrabel as a big bully on the sideline, somebody that he already after the loss planted the seed about the Bills hold all the time. And I bet that comes up next week if they're going to play each other next week. So a lot of history. I mean, that's a huge game. They both are. But Sal had a poll yesterday for Bills fans. Who would you rather play? And when I voted, Jacksonville was the more, New England, rather, was the more popular answer, that fans would rather play New England. I voted the other way. I think I want to be able to take advantage of Jacksonville's inexperience and they're not having like just sort of a hammer that I don't know if the Patriots do either. The difference is the coaches in my mind, and maybe I'll feel differently later in the week, but I see the two matchups differently in that way. Let's get John in next. Hi, John.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, I was wondering, how do you think the Bills handled the Keon Coleman situation? Before the Philadelphia game, I thought to myself, see if you agree with this, mm-hmm. give him 4 or 5 targets just to see if we can use him in the playoffs and in the next season. Because right now he seems to be in limbo, right? I mean, are they going to bring him back next year? Are they going to cut him? Or are they going to, you know, he just seems to be, nobody knows what's going to happen with him. Wouldn't that have been an idea?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, sure.
I thought it was astonishing he didn't, not that he didn't play against the Eagles only, but just like where we're at in this. They're so
condition. He could have, you know, if he had 3 catches for 45 yards and a score, we'd say, hey, okay, let's play him in a...
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Playoffs, yeah. And see what happens, right?
Yeah.
And next year, thanks. You feel good about him if he, you know, maybe has a good game.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't understand that. They just don't seem to know what to do with the guy, right?
Well, I think it's this. I think that they don't really trust him, and that relegates him to a lower status than a guy like Davis, who's been around. And even though he's not really doing anything for the Bills apart from a block or an occasional target, I think that's what it comes down to. And this game would be one where I think he's got to be in a uniform. If he's not dressed this week, we're never going to see him again, Coleman, I think. Like, this game is that game where you can try to get him going. It might be like last year's Week 18 in New England. In that game, he had 10 targets. They lost, and he caught 2 passes. And it wasn't with Allen. Like, that's the other side of that coin. But I think this is a game where you'd like to be able to do that and see if he can't get to a place where you can feel like he can help you in the playoffs. I think it's pretty incredible that their first pick from last season at such a position of need and importance is at this point useless to them. And I think the optics of it, at least, I'd want to change that if I were the Bills, which adds to how incredible it is that he's not even playing. But it wasn't like he was that productive. What are they taking out of the lineup by not dressing Coleman? 2 for 17? I mean, they're not losing that much. So that's a big one, and we'll talk about that, John, today, maybe more with Sal, and then I'm sure on Friday. That's a big one to watch this week. Thanks for your calls. Joe Ostrowski next. Dan Leberfeld, Sal Capaccio as well today. Happy New Year. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.